I pray that this morning you will have an encounter with the Word of God that will transform your life. I pray, so many times we start at the beginning of the year, we start with your goals, your visions, your dreams, the thing that you want to see accomplished. And then when it gets to this time of the year, you start looking back and say, what are some of the goals and the things that I wanted to see this year that I haven't seen? So let's dig into some key scriptures here and into the Word of God and see what God has for us this morning. Luke chapter 1, verse 37. Luke chapter 1, verse 37. Luke chapter 1, verse 37. For he says, "For with God nothing will be impossible." With God, nothing. Let's all say that this morning. With God, nothing will be impossible. Say it from the bottom of your heart. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Get that settled in your heart this morning. But turn with me also to Joshua chapter 6, verse 20. Joshua chapter 6, verse 20. Joshua chapter 6, verse 20. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to the name of the Lord. So the people shouted when the priest blew the trumpet. And it happened when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat. Then the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. The people shouted. This was when Joshua was going and God had spoken to him to take the children of Israel to the promised land. This morning, I pray in the mighty name of Jesus. Let me not jump ahead of me. You see, God has a plan for your life. God has a plan for this year. God has a plan for your life. And in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4 to 5, he talks about the fact that before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And for Jeremiah, he told him that he had ordained for him to be a prophet. God has a plan for your life. And the good news also is that plan is a good plan. Amen. Jeremiah 29:11 says, talks about the fact that I know the plans that I have towards you. Plans of good and not of evil. Plans to give you a hope and a future or an expected end. God's plan for your life is good. Very good. But you have to also, and you have to realize that God is a builder. And no builder does build without a plan. No builder does. And God's plan for you is very good. And the Bible says that except the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain that do build it. God's plan for you is very good. So let's look at some examples in the Bible. I'll come back to Joshua. I haven't forgotten about him. We'll come back to him. But in Exodus chapter 3, verse 11 to 12, God was calling Moses to go and deliver the children of Israel out of Egypt. And Moses said, God, I think maybe you made a mistake. That's just putting it in my language. I am a wanted man in Egypt. I am on the wanted list. And God said, go and rescue them and deliver them, and you will worship me in this mountain. That was God's plan for Moses. And also, like for instance, David. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, he was at the backside of the desert. He was there where no one knew him. He was faithfully shepherding sheep. And one day God said, I'm done with Saul. Samuel, go to the house of Jesse and look for somebody to replace, to anoint as king. And when Samuel got there, he was looking at the outward appearance. He was looking at all the big people coming in and saying that, this might be the king. But later on, all of them passed, and he said, do you have one more son? We will not sit down until that son comes. I pray in the mighty name of Jesus, in this season, the people, the plan that God, that the people that God has ordained will help you, may they not be able to rest until they help you.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus, glory be to the name of the Lord. Thank you, Lord. You see, but when we talk about the plan of God, or we talk about destiny, that is simply saying the plan of God for our life. Think about it. I mean, Joshua is on. I mean, God told him in Joshua chapter 1, verse 1 to 6, that my plan is that you will take my people to a land flowing with milk and honey. That is the plan. The plan of God for you. And here he comes up to a place where he runs into the wall of Jericho. You see, simply put, the wall of Jericho is anything that stands between you and the fulfillment of the destiny of the plan of God for your life.
Amen.
And he felt overwhelmed. He hadn't counted on the wall of Jericho. But God gave him what to do. And when he did that, that wall was very great. The historians tell us that, six chariots could actually ride on that wall. And God told him what to do. And when he did it, the wall of Jericho came down and they were able to take the city. Oh, this morning, my prayer is anything that stands between you and the fulfillment of that which God has ordained for your life, for this year, for this season, in the mighty name of Jesus, as you choose to praise him, may those walls come down in Jesus' mighty name. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
Oh, my Lord and my God. Glory be to the name of the Lord. The children of Israel were on their way. They had left Egypt and they were on their way. Moses had led them out of Egypt. But in their travels, they ran into the Red Sea. And Moses and the people began to cry unto God. And Moses joined in the cry. And God told him, why are you crying to me? That Red Sea was standing between them and the promised land. And God gave Moses again what to do. Take the rod and stretch it over the sea. And God divided the sea so they could pass through. But God was saying that, Moses, in other words, when I called you in the beginning, I didn't say you were going to come to this Red Sea and stop. The plan of God for your life, God didn't call you out of the well. God didn't call you to leave you in the middle of the journey. That wasn't his plan. And so he had to do the impossible for them to be able to go through. Oh, the goals, the vision that he has given and the plan that he has given you for your life. Maybe you may have not have seen it yet, but God didn't start the year with you to leave you in the middle of the year unaccomplished. And so in the mighty name of Jesus, any impossible situation in your life that God has to undertake for you to move forward with your life, I pray that God steps in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, glory be to the name of the Lord. You see, there are so many things. Like, for instance, David, as soon as he was anointed king, the enemy, the plan of God was that he would rule over the whole land. But because the enemy knew what he was going to do, and because he knew that he was ordained to be king, he sent the lion, David killed the lion. He sent the bear, David killed the bear. And then right from chapter 16, you get to chapter 17 of 1 Samuel, he runs into Goliath. And Goliath is now saying that if we defeat your nation, you will serve us. But meanwhile, God's plan is that he will be king. So now Goliath is standing between him and eventually ascending to the throne. Oh, but he took on Goliath and took the head of Goliath. In other words, simply put, you think you are going to take the crown that God has for me? I am not going to allow you to take that crown. I will take your head off. In the mighty name of Jesus, this season, anything that wants to take your crown, anything that will endeavor to stand between you and the glory that God has for your life, in the mighty name of Jesus, I pray that it be cut off in Jesus' mighty name. If you believe that, say amen this morning.
Hallelujah.
My. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Thank you, Lord. When Joshua got to Jericho, he hadn't planned on that. But God, before Joshua came on the scene, he knew that the plan was to take the children of Israel to their destination. When he got there, when they were laying the foundation of that wall, God had not ceased being God. He knew what he was going to do. You see, the thing, the truth of the matter is, God knows the end from the beginning. He's not nervous about all that we have to go through. Acts chapter 15, verse 18. Notice what the Bible says. Thank you, Lord. He says, known to God from eternity are all his works. He knows, he knew you before you were formed in the womb. He knows your end from the beginning. Yeah. And the walls of Jericho or the mountains or whatever the case might be that we are confronted with in life, that stands between us and the promised land. That stands between us and the promises of God. That stands between us and what God has purposed for our lives. God knows. By the end, but God knows about it, and he's not rattled. He knows where he's taking you. Notice what the Bible says in Psalm chapter 90, verse 1 to 2. Psalm 90, verse 1 to 2. Psalm 90, verse 1 to 2, he says, Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Yeah. Hallelujah. Oh, before the mountains were brought forth, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Before you faced that difficult circumstance, God was God. And this morning, the Almighty God has looked down and has said that Jericho wall in your life must fall. Your miracle must come. This is your season for you to see his glory manifest in your life. If you believe that, say aloud, amen. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's look at a few more examples. For the man, in the leprous man, in Mark chapter 1, verse 40 to 45, God's plan was that he would go and testify about him. But the leprosy was standing between him and what God had called him to do. when he came to Jesus, he said, Mark chapter 1 from Mark 1 from verse 40. Thank you, Lord. Mark 1, 40. Glory be to the name of the Lord. He says, now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying to him, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I am willing, be cleansed. As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. And he strictly warned him and sent him away at once and said to him, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way and show yourself to the priest and offer your for your cleansing those things which Moses had commanded as a testimony to them. Go and share your testimony with the priest first. But if you see, for the leprous man in those days, that's a serious business. Every time they go around, they have to keep ringing the bell. Leprous, 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 leprous. Stay away from me. Stay away from me. I'm infectious. Stay away from me. He was ostracized from society. No dignity to his life. But Jesus had a plan for his life. When he came, he was questioning the willingness of Jesus to deliver him. He didn't question his ability or his power to do it. He was questioning his willingness. When you come to Jesus, Jesus, settle this, Jesus is always willing to deliver you. Always willing to deliver you. And he was cleansed and went around testifying. But the leprosy in his case was his wall of Jericho. It was standing between him and what the plan that God had for his life. We see another person also in Luke chapter 8, verse 27 to 40, the madman of Gadara. He was out of his mind. But later on, when Jesus delivered him, he went around into the Decapolis, 10 cities, and testified. You see, your testimony is very powerful. What God has done for you, who you were, and who he has made you to be now. Amen. Notice what the Bible says in Luke chapter 8, verse 39. Luke chapter 8, verse 39. Luke chapter 8, verse 39. He says, return to your own house and tell what great things God has done for you. That's all you have to do. And he went his way and proclaimed throughout the whole city. Notice again, what great things Jesus has done for him. So his testimony is, I used to be mad, I'm no longer mad. Jesus has set me free. You know me in this city. I used to be this, now I'm no longer this. And just what Jesus has done for me, and depending on what the other person is going through, you can tell him that Jesus will do the same for you. Very simple. Go and tell what great things the Lord has done for you. But Jesus delivered him so that he can go on and testify. One time when I was in college, I think about the second year, it was about 2 weeks towards our final exams for the year. And I don't know, I got severely attacked to the point where I could smell death in my room. Because, I mean, all throughout my college days, I was always doing pastoral work while doing my academic work as well. But I could smell death in my room. And my parents picked me up from the campus and took me home. And they took me to the doctor. And the doctor said, we don't find anything wrong with you. I said, I don't find anything wrong. And what's wrong with me is natural. And I began to pray, and others began to pray as well. And God delivered me from that. I came back and wrote my exam. Just the first day before the first exam started, I was there and I was writing my exam, and to the glory of God, I came out with flying colors. The enemy was defeated. But think about it. God, I mean, knew that he had a plan for my life. If I had died, I wouldn't be standing here, and we wouldn't have met. Think about it. But God wouldn't let that happen. God wouldn't let that happen. Because, the plan for your life, the plan for my life is bigger than anything that we are faced with. And I pray in the mighty name of Jesus, may sickness not be able to stop you. May discouragement not be able to stop you. May depression not be able to stop you. May nothing be able to stop you from fulfilling the plan of God for your life. If you believe that, say amen this morning. Thank you, Lord Jesus. It doesn't matter how many enemies come against you. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray that they fall for your sake. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Look at somebody like Hannah. In the Bible, 1 Samuel chapter 1, we see her story. She was barren. And you see, for each and every one of us, I mean, she was the one that gave birth to Samuel. And in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 19 to 21, he talks about the fact that, he talked about the fact that Samuel's words did not fall to the ground. When Samuel prophesied, it came to pass. He was the same person that anointed Saul as king, that anointed David as king. And here Hannah is not giving birth to children. And she goes in the house of God and began to cry on God. She had been going every year. She had been going through the motions every year. But this year, when she went into the house of God, she said, I am not leaving this place without my miracle. I need a child. The prophet said, put away your wine from you. Why are you drunk? It's too early in the morning to be drunk. Sometimes when you are serving God, sometimes when you are obeying God, sometimes when you are doing the will of God, people question you and say, what is about God that you are following? She said, oh, priest, I am not drunk. Out of the bitterness of my soul, I have poured out my soul to God. And then the prophet said, the priest said, that which you have desired of God, the petition that you have desired of God, may God grant you that which you have requested. And the Bible says in 1 Samuel 1:18, she's left and she was no, her face was no longer sad. But the point is, barrenness was standing between her and the great prophet Samuel. But she called on God. She called on the name of the Lord. This morning, my prayer is anything in your life that stands between you and that which God has planned for your life, in the mighty name of Jesus, may God step into the circumstance of your life and turn it around in Jesus' mighty name. There was a great prophet in Hannah. There is a great achiever in you. There is a great person in you. And I pray in the name of Jesus that nothing will stand between you and that which God has ordained for your life. Thank you, Lord Jesus. But there's one thing this morning that we will need to do. We will need, number one, to praise the one who can help us fulfill the plan of God for our life. Praise. Praise. You see, like for instance, somebody like Moses, when they crossed the Red Sea, Moses was a songwriter. And in Exodus chapter 15, he sang a song. But the thing that I noticed this week is in Revelation chapter 15, verse 3, he says, this is talking about heaven. They sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the saints. Notice, they sing the song of Moses the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb. Some way, somehow, Moses, the song of Moses, and the song of the Lamb are together there. Oh, I will be singing that song in heaven. I will see you there. Hallelujah. Oh, but he was given to praise. Hannah as well, in 1 Samuel chapter 2, she sang a song to the Lord. For David, he sang a song to the Lord as well. He was a psalmist. Thank you, Lord. When you don't know what to do, when it seems that the prophecy that God has given you is not coming to pass, sing a song. I like David. We get this song from him. As the deer panted for the water, so my soul longs after you. You alone are my heart, desire, and I long to worship you. Thank you, Lord. You didn't think I could sing, right? I can sing when I put myself to it. I sing to myself in the shower. But when you sing a song like that, the difficulties of life, the impossible situations of life begins to fade when you compare it to the awesomeness and the greatness of our God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You see, the more we are full of praise, the more fruitful our lives become. Joel chapter 1, verse 12. Joel chapter 1, verse 12. Thank you, Lord. He says, I like it in the King James, the authorized King James, the original one. So let's misread from the New King James. He says, the vine is dried up, and the fig tree languishes. The pomegranate tree, the palm tree also, and the apple tree, even all the trees of the field are withered away because joy is withered away from the sons of man. There is no harvest because joy has withered. Joy is a very powerful thing. The enemy wants to attack your joy. You see, for a farmer, this is a serious situation. The vine is dried up, the fig tree languishes, the pomegranate tree, the palm tree also, and the apple tree, even all the trees of the field are withered because joy is withered from the sons of men. And the good news is, for us as Christians, joy is the fruit of the recreated human spirit. It's already there. So I like what James says in James chapter 1. Thank you, Lord. James, thank you, Lord. James chapter 1. My, verse 2 says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. The trial, the test may not be joyful, but you count it joy. Because like Nehemiah said in Nehemiah 8:10, he says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. What I'm going through is not joyful. Oh, but I will choose to joy in the God of my salvation. I will choose to praise him in the midst of whatever I'm going on or whatever I'm going through. Though I have not seen the harvest, I know that the key to seeing the harvest is to remain joyful and to praise my God. Hallelujah. Hannah left that place, her countenance was no more sad. There is no baby inside, but the key to it is, let me wipe my tear off my eyes and be joyful and rejoice in my God. And that verse 2, chapter 2, she begins to praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You see, joy is the key to our harvest. Notice what he says in Psalm chapter 67, chapter 67, verse 5 to 7. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Thank you, Lord. He says, let the people praise you, O God. Yeah. Let all the people praise you. Then the earth shall yield her increase. God, our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. Let all the people praise you. Then the earth shall yield her increase. God, our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. How many of us want to experience a miracle that will cause people to shake their head and say, I know this must be God?
Amen.
It tells you the key right here. I see someone entering into a miracle that God has ordained for their life that will cause men to wonder and desire to follow your God. Let all the people praise him. Let all the people praise you. I like this. He says, then the earth shall yield her increase. God, our own God. We are not talking about another God here. Our own lovely heavenly Father. Because he says he inhabits the praises of his people. When you begin to praise the Lord, oh, that which seems like a wall of Jericho, that which seems like a mountain that will not be removed. Oh, when God inhabits your praises, that wall must be removed in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Glory be to the name of the Lord. God, our own God, he's the only one that can help you. He's the only one that can help you. Our own God shall bless us. The more we praise, the more honorable our lives become. Psalm 50, verse 23. Thank you, Lord. Psalm 50, verse 23. Glory be to the name of the Lord. This is good. Thank you, Lord Jesus. This is good eating. Whoso offereth praise glorifies me, and to him who orders his conduct aright, I will show the salvation of God. Whoever praises me glorifies me. And in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30, he says, he that honors me, I will honor. He that praises him glorifies him. And when we honor him, he will honor us as well. Every trace of shame in your life, in the mighty name of Jesus, in this season, as you begin to praise God, I pray that you enter into the fullness of that which God has for your life. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, let all the people praise me. Let all the people praise me. Habakkuk 3:17 says, though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet, I like that, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. You see, there is praise where you praise God after things have happened. Then there is praise where before things happen, you praise him to make the things happen. This person here, the fig tree may not blossom. I've not seen the plan of God for my life yet. I've not seen that which I wanted to see this year yet. No fruit on the be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no fruit, no food. Though the flock may be cut off from the fold and there be no herd in the stalls, I think he may have learned from Joel. He doesn't want to keep encountering dry seasons and no harvest, so he's going to make a choice. I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and he will make me walk on my high hill. Oh, as you begin to praise God in this season, I pray in the mighty name of Jesus, may God set you on the high place that he has for your life. In the name of Jesus, if you believe that, shout, yes! Oh, nothing will be able to stop you. Sickness will not be able to stop you. Death will not be able to stop you. No circumstance will be able to stop you. In the mighty name of Jesus, you will enter the fullness of that which God has for your life. In Jesus' mighty name. Glory. I just enjoyed this, I tell you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Abraham had to do that. This is not on my note, but someone is pulling it out, so we'll go there. Thank you, Lord. Romans chapter 4. We'll wrap up with that. Romans chapter 4, verse 17. Thank you, Lord. He says, talking about Abraham, verse 20. Romans 4, verse 20. He says, let's start from 17. It's so good. As it is written, I've made you a father of many nations, in the presence of whom him he believed, God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did, who contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb, verse 20. Notice, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. Giving glory to God. I am 100 years old. The same thing for that person there. There is no fruit anywhere, and there is no hope of anything coming, but I will give glory to God. And sooner or later, Isaac, the promised child, came. Hallelujah. Ah, yeah, yeah. This is hot off the press. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Giving glory. He did not waver, but he gave glory to God. He gave glory. He was strengthened in faith. When it seems like your faith is getting weak, sweet to praise, sweet to praise. Glory to God. Glory to God. Lord, I'm your child. Lord, you knew me before I was formed in the womb. Lord, you have a plan for my life. Lord, your word is true. Your promises are true. Your word is truth. And let God be true and every man a liar. Let God be true and every circumstance that I see a liar. Let God be true and everyone a liar. Lord, I look up to you. Lord, I look up to you. You are my source. You are my very own father. You loved me even before I gave my life to you. And you continue to love me, and your love is greater than any other song.